It's called many or by few. By many or by few. We'll get to that a little bit later. John 3, verse 14. There's so many kids around here nowadays. It's very nice. I can identify my child, but I'll get confused with the rest, so. But a while ago it was only, there were hardly any young people, and now there's lots of young guys. Nice to have you here. Anyway, John 3:14, just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up. I just want to stop there. Now this refers to a scripture, a passage in the Old Testament where the Israelites weren't obedient and they were struck with sicknesses and stuff. And then God told Moses, said, Moses, put this serpent, you know the Mediclinic label, the Mediclinic ambulance, they've got this cross with a snake on. It refers to this. And when Moses lifted up this, it sounds weird, but this pole with a snake on, when they looked at it, they got healed. They got delivered. They got saved. So this scripture is saying that as Moses lifted up that thing, as Moses lifted up, and when people looked at it and they got saved and they got healed, so the Son of Man must be lifted up. Son of Man refers to Jesus Christ. And I believe in our church, I remember a long while ago we had intercession and I felt that we must lift up Jesus Christ. Now, what does this lifting up Jesus Christ in your life and in my life personally mean? It just means we're proclaiming him wherever we can. We are standing for him. He's our God. He is the God that saves. So it means different things for different people, but it means that we become serious about Jesus Christ. It means that we start proclaiming Jesus in this nation. We always talk about it. And that's why I'm so excited about CS coming, excited about Jaco and his wife being here, because there are certain things that we've been neglecting. We can't get to it just because we don't have enough manpower. Now we have the manpower. So now I'm excited. Anyway, let's go on. That everyone who believes may have eternal life in him. For God so loved the world that he gave him his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. I think it's very important that whenever we do an outreach or whatever we do, is that, and I've seen it, I was like that. That we don't talk to people about Jesus Christ. We don't engage them with an aggressive manner. I've seen these people and I want to just chuck them out of the streets where they scream at you while you're in the street and they're talking Jesus. Jesus says, yeah, I didn't come to condemn people. I came to save people. Wherever you see Jesus, he was very straightforward with Pharisees and religious people. He could tell them, you snakes, get out of my way. But whenever it came to people, he never condemned them. The law condemns us. Jesus didn't have to do anything. If we transgress the law, which we all do, then we feel condemned. But Jesus Christ says, I've come not, what did he say? Not to condemn, but to save the world through him. Is that my child? So I just want us, you know, that even if we look forward to this weekend when CS is coming, is that we have to see people through God's spectacles. We sometimes look at them and we say, whoo, a bad sinner, somebody that needs to know God because he's so far away from God. God doesn't see that. He doesn't see that. He doesn't have condemnation on his mind. He's got deliverance on his mind. Amen. Anyway, let's go on. Whoever believes in him, verse 18, is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. Jesus must be lifted up. So, verse 21, but whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what they have done has been done in the sight of God. I'm You can expect us preaching along the same line the next few Sundays, building up towards when CIC is coming. But Jesus Christ must be lifted up. And I'll get to the next point. I think that's the next one. Is that one place that we can start by lifting up Jesus Christ is in the spiritual atmosphere, in the spiritual realm. I can never pronounce that word. Realm.
Realm.
Is it perfect? Realm. And I'll get to the scripture, but let me just drop something here. You know, sometimes we say, no, I'm praying for you, brother. But I've come across myself saying that, and I realized, I think, oh yeah, I've got this friend who I should be praying for a wife for. And I always tell him, no, I'll pray for you. But then do I actually pray for him? If I have to be honest with myself, maybe like 5 seconds, yeah. Lord, please give me my wife. Go on with my life. No. So we shouldn't be Christians like that when we say we pray. No, I'll pray for you, brother. And we must really pray. I'm praying for my husband. I'm praying for my family. Am I really praying? You know, it's, what's his name? Reinhard Bonnke always says that we must see people that don't know Jesus Christ as people that are drowning. Now, if you see, if your child, if your anybody that you love, you see them drowning, it's not like you're going to stand there, finish your cup of coffee, and then try and save them. No, you're going to run in there, grab them, and get them out of the water. And God's heart is like that. It's like He sees people drowning. And when we pray for them, we must earnestly seek Him and desire Him and say, Lord, bring Your salvation to this nation, to this town. So, the next scripture is, we must pray that God's kingdom must come. God's kingdom must come. God's kingdom is already established. When Jesus Christ died, He established the kingdom already. It's there. But the problem is it's up there in heaven. It's perfect. God has a perfect plan for everyone. Written out, this is what He wanted Theo to accomplish. But when Theo was in first year varsity, Theo was like way far from that. So somebody had to pray for me so that the kingdoms can line up. The kingdoms can start coming together. All I'm trying to say is, pray then like this. O Father in heaven, hallowed be Your name. Your kingdom come, Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. On earth, here with us, in amidst us, as it is in heaven. And our intercessions must, not must, but our intercessions is the engine room of God's will in this town. It's the engine room. It's if we don't intercede properly, if we come to chat and discuss something at intercession, drop ideas. No, it's not a place to drop ideas. It's a place to intercede. It's a place where we call things that are in heaven down onto earth and say, Lord, let Your will be done as it is there in heaven, here on earth. There are so many strongholds. But I mean, it's not like this place is more strongholds than any other one. But as Christians, we're constantly in a war, and we must trust God to break through these strongholds. The only reason why your husband is not getting saved yet, or your father, or your whoever, it is because the kingdom of God, because God has got a perfect plan for him or her. He wants them to be saved. He sees the potential in them. Somebody must pray, drag that stuff, those promises from heaven, down into reality. So, Heidi also said it to me this morning. I also had a dream. Maybe I'll tell you later about the dream. That she just has an urgency to pray for her family more. And I believe that's from God. You know, I remember when I just got saved. Man, I prayed for my family the whole day. Now, I still say I do it, but I don't think I do it as much as I should. Amen. So, we're talking about see us coming. We're talking about we're going to have an outreach. We have to pray now. Now, we have to start now praying into that. We can't expect miracles in people's lives to change if we haven't prayed, made the spiritual soil soft. We have to pray from Tuesday onwards. In our own time, if you can't make Tuesdays, we pray that God make the ground soft. Because I know Sias. That man carries an anointing with him. Stuff happens around him. But if we prepare the soil, if we pray for it, we can expect more. We can expect those people that don't know Jesus to come to Jesus. Amen. All right. Then we can be expectant. sometimes the devil, I know he does this, man. He does it in my life. He'll do it in everybody's life. He'll take you through these periods. Then woo, something happens. And, oh, yes, God is alive. And then we go through a dip that happens to everybody. And then we think, oh, where's God now? And the only thing he wants you to do at that time is during that dip to do nothing. And then we start thinking, oh, God's not going to come through and stuff like that. No. In Scripture, God always says, I'm going to read those Scriptures now, that today is the day of salvation. God doesn't change. We can, and the purpose of preaching this is to make you, if you are here and you've been praying for 20 years for somebody, I want to encourage you. I want to say that the Scripture still says today is the day of salvation. God hasn't changed his mind. God hasn't given up on that person you're praying for. Even though you're seeing nothing happen, you continue in the Spirit praying the kingdom down into his life. Because Jesus still says, be expectant because today is the day of salvation. Are you with me? Everyone, are you still here? But I know it's difficult. Sometimes we don't. We're human. God knows we're human. We need to see some breakthroughs every now and then. And that's why it's wonderful to be in a family context, that when you're down, you can call your sister or brother next to you and say, listen, I mean, really, help me now. Pray with me. Come through. Just by the way, when we did this surfing competition, we met with all the youngsters, the young surfers. Where were you guys? But we're going to have another competition. And the one thing I'm going to do, I can tell you, and if I don't do it now, I'm in trouble because I'm telling everybody, is I want to invite this specific one guy because I chatted to him and I could figure out stuff is not so lacquer in his life. But now, my responsibility is done. And now I've stepped in it. So if you see me come to see us thing without that guy, please ask me, where is he, Theo? Hopefully I can tell you I did ask him and couldn't come or whatever. But it was amazing to make that contact with people. We didn't tell them about Jesus on that surfing day, but we just, well, I guess if I was like 15 years old and an older surfer would come to me and just say, hey, how's it? You always feel nice, you know, like, whoo. Kids are starting to call me Wim nowadays. That's sad. It's very sad. Anyway, 1 Chronicles 16, verse 23. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Proclaim his salvation day after day. Proclaim his salvation. That's one of the things we must do in intercession. Proclaim salvation day after day over this town. 2 Corinthians 6, verse 2. For he says, in the time of my favor I heard you, and in the day of salvation I helped you. I tell you, now is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation. So, we can expect that to happen. We can ask God for that to happen. Matthew 9, verse 34 to 38. It speaks about laborers. You know that there's a saying in business circles, or I don't know which circles. They say sometimes a company has too many chiefs and too little Indians. That's what the scripture is. Somebody mowing their lawn. What's this? Oh, quad bikes. I had a fallout with quad bikes yesterday. You must pray for me to have grace. Anyway. Verse 34. But the Pharisees said, he cast out demons by the prince of demons. And then the topic there is, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers few. And Jesus went throughout all the cities and villages, teaching in the synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. I just want to stop there. You know, maybe a month or two ago we had this the worship evening here, and Clarence brought a whole group that he knows from other churches, youngsters. And they were here, and it was going crazy here, which was nice. You know, it was real anointed worship, and it was, hopefully Anton didn't kick us out. Anton just stays next door, so it must have been a noise. But when I was standing there in them, I really felt this. I felt this scripture and I said, they're like sheep without a shepherd. You know, it's not like I'm trying to say that their pastors are not there, but I could see these kids, they just need somebody. They need a shepherd. They need somebody to look over them, you know, because you can change the whole nation with those kids. You can change them, but they don't have a structure to support them. I think they don't have it. And God challenged me, you know, and I don't know what we must do, but I know we must help these kids. That's all I can say. There are so many. I always said we went to Korichas, and Lucilio was telling me about Karab. The youth of this nation looks the same everywhere. Desperate, drowning kids, spiritually drowning. They're going down. And I'm not trying to make it sound worse, but it's just happening. You know, the things that happen to them nowadays in school is stuff that I was exposed to only in varsity. The devil is rife in schools, and they're like sheep without a shepherd. Anyway, that's not the sermon. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into the harvest." Now, what is a laborer? I just want to talk about this laborer thing. I want to say that a laborer is not, you don't have to look like Sias to become a laborer, or you don't have to do what I am doing to be a laborer. There are different kinds of laborers. What I believe the scripture also wants to say, or what I'm going to say this morning, is that this whole thing about bringing salvation to people coming to Jesus Christ, is not for a few elect in the church. It's not for evangelists. There's also another scripture that says the one plants, the one waters, the other one harvests. So I'm not trying to tell you, you must get the guts to stand up and preach like this, otherwise you're not a laborer. I'm not saying that. You determine through God, with your relationship with Him, what is your job to do? Are you planting? Are you watering? Or are you harvesting? But somewhere, I just want to say that this whole thing about bringing people to Christ is a team effort. It is the one says, just drops a comment at the surf camp, says, "Hey brother, you know, we love the fact that you are here. Seed planted." This kid looks up, "Oh, an older guy told me he loves me and they actually like it when I'm here." It's a seed planted. I could see it happening. We had that DVD evening, and they all have all these surfers around them and nobody swears. And they're like, "What's going on here? What are these guys? We thought surfers swear all the time and smoke dacha." No, they're not doing that. They're confused, spiritually confused. I'm very happy about that confusion, because somebody planted seeds and they said, "Just, you know, I want to see that Theo or Stefanos or JP or Mark guy again, because they're nice people, you know. They rip surfing." They're not me, that's Mark. "And they're nice people. They like me. They don't." So, what I'm saying is, laborer there means just figuring out, where can I add? Where can I add to this person's life? How can I be part of the puzzle, of the formula, or the whatever, to bring somebody closer to God? Amen. And the reason I'm saying this, and we're going to have a meeting on Wednesday with all the small groups together. Let me drop a bomb here. We're going to have to start with two services on a Sunday morning after CS is coming. Because, yeah. Praise the Here, Jaco is here, so that they can help preek. But we can't, let me just tell you a fact how it works. If a church, they tell us it works like this all over the world. A church is as full as it is this morning, you will not get more people here. Because they come to the door, they say, "Oh, there's not even a place to sit down." They go. That's how it happens. There's nothing wrong with them. It's just how people are. So we have to create the opportunity for more people to come. And then we're not getting a venue, so we're going to have to start with two services. And Afrikaans, maybe the first one or this. So, why did I say that? Okay. But this whole worker thing, the laborer thing is, and I'm going to ask Jaco to help me, that we work out a few questions for small groups this week, and that we discuss this thing in small group, is that we have to, because the last thing I want is CS comes, 40 people, 50 people give their lives to God, and now what? What do we do with them? Where do they go? Who's going to follow them up? I'm going to be a pain. We must get ourselves ready beforehand so that we can help them when they come. So in small groups, I want you guys to talk and say, what are we going to do? Who's our next leader? Because if five guys come, we're going to have to multiply. Who's the two leaders? Those are the thing, that type of thing that laborers talk about. Amen. Also something else that I want you to pray into, and but trust God for us. I told Jaco the same thing, is we need a couple of, we need a few more people here. Because, you know, if I look at everything that we're doing, worship and setting up and sound, there's almost nobody in this church that's doing nothing. Really, everybody's doing something. And they're quite busy, actually. They've got, some people don't even have 8-to-5 jobs. They've got 8-to-whatever jobs. And they're still doing a lot. So I'm trusting, I told Jaco, we must trust God. And you put your faith out for it. We need about 10 or 15 more young, frisk manna that can carry chairs and stuff like that. I'm trusting, I'm putting my faith out for that. We need them. Amen. So, we're all laborers. And if the only thing that you do maybe for that Sunday when CS is coming is if you start praying that God will show you who to invite for that Sunday, then that's fine. We're not putting pressure on you. We're not going to tick off boxes and say, did you do this? Did you do that? Did you do that? No. You've got a relationship with God. He talks to you. But let's be expectant. Amen. The next one is that I'm just sharing. Is that this like-mindedness, this two Blue Bulls guys, when they talk to each other, they've got something in common. Two Stormers guys. Yeah, there's a Bri next week because Stormers are playing the Bulls. Really. It's going to be a challenge. How to be like-minded there. That's going to be difficult. But anyway, I just want to read a few scriptures here because in the beginning of Acts, where the church just came together, there was this unity, there was this working together thing happening. And that's why I'm preaching this, because Jaco and I and my wife and whoever is in leadership, the elders, we have learned this one thing at least, is that unless people buy into a vision, then I don't want to run with it by myself, because I get tired by running by myself. Church was like that everybody bought in. They bought into the vision. And that's why I'm preaching it. And in Acts, it was like that. There was this working together thing. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Now something that we miss sometimes is we don't put in context the scriptures just before it. It says these people were working together. And it's like, have you seen those things on Discovery they showed about Google, a company Google? I don't know if it is Google, but anyway, they don't have like set rules there. Then you don't have to come in at this time and leave at that time and stuff like that. It's this very open thing, but somehow everybody there knows what Google stands for and they are proud to work for Google. They come to work, they work after hours without asking for pay for it. That does it because they have bought into the vision. They are with Google. And nowadays, if you're not with Google, what's the next search station? I don't know. But I always talk about Google. So, and this was happening in church. It was this Google thing. They were just together, working together, and nobody had to ask, brother, please do this. Brother, please do that. No, it happened. And then Scripture says, and the Lord added to their number daily those who are being saved. And I'm blessed with our church. I believe Jaco also says it, and Sias says, I mean, Fred, everybody says they really love what's happening in Swakop, and I believe because there is such a working together. It is. I just want to tell all of you, worship team, everybody, you guys have taken so much burden off my shoulders in the last 2-3 years, because I didn't have to do everything. You did most of the work. That's amazing. And that's why God adds to our number. If it was one man with one vision and him doing all the work, somehow people pick it up and they say, no, I don't want to be part of this. I don't want part of somebody's kingdom he was trying to build. They pick it up. Anyway, almost finished. Acts 4 verse 42. All the believers were in one heart and mind. No one claimed that any of their possessions was their own, but they shared everything they had. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And God's grace was so powerfully at work in them all that there were no needy persons among them. For from time to time, those who owned land or houses sold them, bought the money from the sales, and put it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to anyone who had need. Just want to go up there again. Verse 33, in the middle. And God's grace was so powerfully at work in them all. Some other translation says they had mega grace. Meaning, God's grace just means, no, it's not only just means, but in this context it means God, the church had mega grace. God bestowed on them grace. Miracles just flowed. Stuff just happened. People got saved. Mega grace. Miracles happened. Once again, they were in unity. They were together. Other translation says they had great grace. God's favor was on them. And I want, you know, people talk about this. I honestly can't say why it isn't happening, why it's not happening. But sometimes people ask, but where are all the miracles? And one thing I heard Jan Cor say, and I actually believe that, he said, is that, but, you know, it's not, we're not saying it's the truth, but it's just along the lines that we're thinking is that God doesn't want his glory to be overshined by some person's ego. It's not, you know, this anointing thing is, wow, that guy's anointed. And it's like if you look at Sears, I mean, the guy doesn't wear funny suits with the glitter in sunlight. Or stuff like that. God doesn't want to share his glory. Scripture says that. He doesn't share his glory. And I believe if the church can get to the place where they're working together and it's not like, oh, wow, that if that man prays for you, you're going to get healed. No, it's not about that man. It's about God's presence and his anointing being amongst these people because they are working together with one focus and vision. And it happens when he walks in here, he gets saved or gets healed. It's not about me. It's not about me and my great method of praying or whatever. It's not. And that's probably one reason why we're not seeing so many miracles nowadays is God wants to get rid of our egos. So that it's not about theopotrector.com ministries. Anyway. I think it's the last scripture. Yes. And I'm finished. Preach very quickly nowadays. Yes. 1 Samuel 14 verse 6. Jonathan said to his young armor bearer, come, let us go. Okay, wait, before I read that, can I ask the ladies to help me hand out the elements? Who's going to help? I can say yourself. They always have to remind me, because after I say amen, then look, oh, we've got communion. So this morning, as we're going to take communion, I want us to come in agreement and just ask God that He will bless us, that He will bless this build-up towards the mission team coming. What I like what the mission team is also going to do, they're mostly going to reach out to schools, but not preach at the schools, just ask the schools, where can we help you? You know, paint the wall or do something physically. They're also going to go to Korichas and build something there. So we're not going to preach too much at kids, but we're going to try and just show God's love by helping them. But when we take communion this morning, I want us to just come in agreement and say, Lord, make me a laborer. And I don't want you to become religious and feel condemned. If you feel condemned at what I say, then I want to tell you, you're listening to the devil, not God. God wouldn't condemn you, he convicts you. He says, oh, yes, I actually want you to invite that person. Yes, I actually want you to speak to that guy in that way. And God will do it his way. And he knows how he created you, what you can do and what you can't do. He's not going to expect you to do something that you can't do. He might test your faith. Yes, scripture is full of that. But I want us to come in agreement and say, Lord, we're going to be laborers in this church. We're going to stand together and we're going to take this nation. You know, we talk about it. I'm sometimes too scared to say it because I say it every Sunday. But I can see God moving in our midst. You know, there are people coming. We're growing. And I just want to tell you, there's more coming. There is more that we're going to reach God. There's still a lot of people out there that need Jesus Christ in their lives, that need deliverance. Okay, amen. Let me read the last scripture. Jonathan said to his young armor bearer, come, let us go over to the outpost of those uncircumcised men. Perhaps the Lord will act in our behalf. Nothing can hinder the Lord from saving, whether by many or by few. You know, sometimes we look at ourselves and we think, yeah, we fall into this trap mentality, whole thing, whatever, that we say, oh, but we're just a little small church. This scripture says that God is not hindered by our numbers. God is not hindered by our perceptions of how little we can do, how little we think we can do. He saves. He just wants laborers putting up a hand. He just wants somebody to say, I want to be part of this thing. Because he saves by many or by few. He doesn't need me. He doesn't need, you know, he goes on. But the beautiful thing about God is he says, I'm also not going to do anything without my people. I need people to do it. So I just want to bless you this morning and say that, maybe I'll pray for that afterwards, that you are precious in God's sight. Your purpose, sometimes you look at yourself and you think, no, but I can't do that. I want to say you're listening to a lie. You can be used by God mightily. And God wants to use you. You know, the one thing that excites one the most in your Christian walk is if you can see God touching somebody through you. In whatever way it is, prayer or it's, you know, you can go on for 10 years after that, just when you see somebody come to Jesus Christ. It changes everything. It makes everything, all the hard work and effort that we put in, makes it all worthwhile. Amen. Father, this morning we thank you for your son that died for us on the cross 2,000 years ago. And Lord, this morning we want to partake of the elements that symbolizes firstly the bread that was your body that was broken on the cross, and also the juice or the wine that represents your blood that was shed for us. Father, and we thank you this morning that we can have a relationship with you because of what you did for us. And we partake of the bread now in Jesus' name. And Lord, we also thank you for your blood that was shed for us. Lord, because through your blood now our sins can be forgiven and we can stand in your presence and worship you, and we don't have to feel bad. We can confess our sins to one another and to you, and then we can go on with a relationship with you. So we thank you for your blood that was shed. Lord, I pray that you will help us just in these coming weeks, that you will speak to us. Father, I pray that we will keep our eyes on Jesus Christ. We will lift up Jesus Christ wherever it is. Father, I want to pray for family members here. I just want you guys to agree with me now in prayer. Just to come in agreement. Father, you know there's so many people that are praying for loved ones. It's not even like somebody out there in the office. It's close people. It's close people, and it hurts because they don't know you. Father, I pray in Jesus' name. We pray the blood of Jesus Christ over those people. We just come in agreement. We come and we come in confidence. And we say that today is a day of salvation. Jesus Christ hasn't changed his mind about you. In Jesus' name, he hasn't changed his mind about you. He died for you on the cross. And we're speaking to those people's lives, Lord God. We pray that your word also says the blood speaks. The blood of Jesus Christ speaks. And I pray that your conviction will enter those people's lives. Father, we pray in Jesus' name, we want to pull down some of the promises, some of the kingdom of God onto earth as it is in heaven. We want to pull it down into those people's lives and ask for their salvation. Ask for them for a miracle, for whatever, just small breakthroughs. In Jesus' name, Lord, we bring those people to the cross. We put them at the cross and we intercede for them this morning. Father, we say they're not going to no longer be influenced by the enemy, but you're going to start influencing them. Lord, there's going to be a shift. There's going to be a change in the spiritual realm where there's always just been one influence, one side of influence. The influence is going to change in Jesus' name. Jesus Christ is going to start speaking to you. You're going to hear him in Jesus' name. Lord, we come against those bondages and those strongholds over people's lives. Lord, we say that the blood has died for those strongholds and they cannot stand in your presence. So we pray that some of them will be broken, Lord God. Some of the stubbornness will be broken. Some of the people that don't even believe in a God, it will be broken. That atheism thing will be broken. Father, I come against hurt in some people's lives. They're just running away from you because they feel that you've deserted them. That hurt, in the name of Jesus Christ, I want to bring it, pull it to the surface and say, Father, deal with that. Deal with it in Jesus' name. Speak to those children. Speak to them, Lord. Show them that you are there. You were there and you're crying with them in Jesus' name. Father, I pray for people that feel condemned about certain things that they did in their lives and it's driving them further and further and further away from you. Lord, I pray that the whole message, the crux of Jesus Christ is that said, I died for everything. So I pray that condemnation will be so far from their minds and they will have the ability to turn around and to take one step closer to God and stop running away in Jesus' name. Just want to keep us to keep our heads bowed. If you are here this morning and you want us to pray for you so that God will, that you can be a laborer, you feel that you're not a laborer. I just want to not condemn you, but I want to say, let us just lay hands on you and pray for you so that this religious approach that you have towards God, towards serving His will for your life, this religious approach, I want to pray that thing gets removed, that you will serve God out of love. Scripture says, for it's God's goodness that leads us to repentance. I serve Jesus Christ because He's good to me. If you are here this morning and you don't serve God out of that motivation, you serve Him out because He's good to you. You serve Him because you're afraid of Him. There's a holy fear that we have for an awesome God, but there's a bad religious fear that wants us to run away. If you've got any of that in your life this morning, just put up your hand quickly. If you want us to pray for that, put up if you feel like that. Okay, amen. I'm going to close off now, and those people that raised your hands, just come forward and somebody's going to pray for you. But if you put up your hand or you feel like that, come forward afterwards and I and somebody else will pray for you. Father, we thank you for today. We pray that you will bless us as we go, Father. Pray that you will protect us. Pray that you will bless our intercession on Tuesday, Lord. We thank you that you're going to bless that weekend when CIS is coming. We thank you for the salvations that are going to come. We thank you that we can be your children, Lord. And we can see your hand moving in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.